Worship you, Father God, and Lord, even if that's the only thing that we do, Lord God, the reason that we came to church, Lord, even if that's the only reason, Lord, that we can come to lift our hands and worship you, Lord God, and say that, Lord, we believe in you, Lord God, and that we belong to you, Father God, and that you are King and you are our Savior and our Redeemer, Lord God, and that it's you that provide for us, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, that we can stand in the relationship with you through Jesus Christ, Lord, and that we can just worship you this morning, Father God, and that we can open our hearts, Lord God, and just receive from you this morning, Father God, that we can give, Lord God, but we also can receive, Lord God, and that it's you that changes us, Lord God, and that you that will minister to us this morning, Lord God. I pray that we will be open to hear from you this morning, Father God, and thank you, Lord God, that you've already been working in our hearts, in our inner man, Lord God, and that you've been speaking to us in the ministry that you've done this morning, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, it's wonderful to have all of you here this morning, and I'm going to start right off. I'm going to minister on the spirit of wisdom this morning, and it's something that when I read it in the week, I just knew that I felt that was what God laid on my heart for today and what we should talk about. So I want to start off by just giving you a little bit of background. I'm enjoying it increasingly, you know, when I read scripture, to just before you start to read a new book, you know, many times I jumped a little bit around from this book to that book, Old Testament to New Testament, and that's not necessarily wrong, but it's a good thing when you start to read a new book in the Bible, you know, that you will just go and read a little bit about the context and the background, and just to understand. For instance, this morning I'm going to read and quote to you from Ephesians, and just to know that when Paul wrote Ephesians, he was in Rome, and he was in prison for a long time, and he wrote Ephesians, and he wrote Colossians and Philippians, and also the book of Philemon, and just to know where he was, and about a little bit about the city. You know, Ephesians was the biggest, second largest city in the first century before Christ, after Rome. It had about 250,000 people that was living there. And the interesting thing was, in as I said, in the first century before Christ, that was the second largest city in the world. You know, just to know a little bit about where it's today. It's in Ephesus, you know, it's in modern day Turkey, in a place called Izmir. I don't know if some of you have maybe been there before. I haven't, so maybe you can go and have a look exactly where it is. And Paul had a very, very deep relationship with the church in Ephesus. You know, he stayed there for about 2 years. He really had a good relationship with the church there. And if you go and read where he greeted almost at the end of his life when he wrote to them, you know, you could see he really felt for them. He really stood in relationship with them. And when he greeted them, you know, it was something, it's almost stirring something emotional in our hearts today, more than 2,000 years later, when we still read that. Now, as I said, I'm going to read you, minister on the spirit of wisdom this morning. So, may I ask you this morning, if for those of you who feel comfortable, just by the show of hands, we know it's the 30th of January, first month of the year is almost finished. Who of you has felt this year that you need a bit of wisdom? Right, most of you are honest people and you need it. Now, I often feel myself, you know, as an individual, as a husband, as a father of three, as a pastor, a lot of time, almost every day, I pray for wisdom. Because if I don't need it, or I need it for all of those things, you know, as a husband, as a father, you know, I spoke to Paul Botha, our lawyer in church, the other day, and I said to him, you must explain, I'm not sure what it is in English, but privaatreg to me. Because I battle with the twins, you know, because Alvin will play for 15 or 20 minutes with a toy, and then he will just quickly leave it there and move on, and then Gustav will come and he will take it, his brother will see it, and then there's wars. So to who does it actually belong? And I, God, I need wisdom for circumstances like that, to be the judge, to be the ruler of the house. And I suppose when Ulrike is growing up, I'm just going to need it a little bit more. So I think many of you can relate this morning. So I really believe that all of us need wisdom. Now, the wisdom I'm going to speak about this morning isn't wisdom in the sense of knowing a lot, of having a high intelligence, a high IQ, or maybe emotional intelligence, EQ. It's not about that. It's you're going to see in Scripture that it's actually referring to something else. I want to read to you 8 Scriptures, or 8 verses of the same Scripture, so you can just listen to it. It's from Ephesians 1, from verse 15 to verse 23, but There's the main party from verse 17 to 19, but I want to read all of those verses to you this morning that you can just see just a little bit where what Paul is writing at here this stage. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now that's quite a mouthful, that's quite a lot. So I just want to give you a little bit of context, that's why I also gave you a bit of background. But I want us to this morning to focus on Ephesians 1 from verse 17 to verse 19. Now I think it's significant, and you can maybe do it in future at home, when you read scripture and you feel that, this thing really speaks to my heart. I really enjoy what I read here. It's something, the scripture becomes live to you. That you go to maybe a second or a third or even a fourth translation and go and read exactly what it says. Because I believe I'm going to read three other translations to you this morning. And just by doing that, I believe all of us, because if I were to ask you right now, close your eyes, get a piece of paper and write down and tell me what this is about. Some of us might even struggle a little bit. I'm not even going to be able to tell you exactly everything that I read to you right now. It's just because some of us can remember short-term memories are very strong. Some of us, our long-term memories are very strong. But let me read to you three different translations that we can understand what Paul is writing here. Because you can see, he said he was so proud. I think Paul felt like a father with broad shoulders when he heard about the good things that the saints, the people in Ephesians, in verse 15, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in your prayers. So I think Paul felt so good about what he heard, the report that he got about the church in Ephesus, that he said, I thank God for you, but I also make mention for you in my prayers. Now there's something we can learn from that. He's not just praying for himself for wisdom, he's praying for the saints, for the people in church, for wisdom. So immediately we can see he's got that outward focus. So, you know guys, what should we do? Pray for other people, you know, intercede for other people. Trust God that he will lay someone, a family maybe, someone in church, someone at your workplace, in your family, lay in your heart that you can learn and learn more to pray outward, to intercede for other people. And the wonderful reward, we spoke about it in intercession the other day, you know, when we pray for things, when we agree on it, when we're in unity on that, and then we see it happens. Isn't that wonderful? Who of you have experienced something like that in church? Or not in church, in your life, you know, where you prayed for something, you trusted God, and then it happened. And even exceedingly, abundantly better than you trusted for. Let me read to you two different translations. I hope you are going to be with me now. I'm going to read to you from the New King James, or I did read to you from the New King James. I'm going to read it again. And that's only verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. The NIV says it as follows. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's almost exactly the same as the previous translation. So that you may know him better. So we need wisdom and revelation so that we can know him better. Not that we can just make more money or sound more cool when you speak to other people around the fire, when you make prayer choppy or something like that. No, so that you can know him better. And then I'm going to read you something that I don't usually read from, is the Message Who of you have read from the Message that translation before? Not many of you. Let me read to you. I'm going to read to you. But I do more than thank. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing Him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what is He calling you to do. I believe I understand it a bit better, what Paul is writing about here, when I read the second and the third translation. So that's just something on the side. I trust that hopefully you will go and do it at home and gain something from that as well. So as I said, Paul was very impressed with the church there. He started to pray for them. And those three scriptures, 17, 18, and 19, focuses about his prayer for the guys in Ephesus. He prays for them for spiritual wisdom. I said we should do it for each other. I really believe we should intercede for each other. It's really important. Now, something I've tried to read as much as possible on this topic, and I'm going to try my best to share everything I can that we can understand it better, so that we can understand God better. Because there's this direct link in this scripture, I believe, between the spirit of knowledge, of wisdom, and understanding, and about knowing God. We said he prayed for the spirit of wisdom and the revelation with the purpose, with the dual objective of their knowing Christ and understanding God's purpose and power in their lives. So guys, we really need to understand this principle. We really need to understand that the knowledge and the revelation and the wisdom, many times, if I were to ask you this morning, in your eyes, maybe if I were to ask you again to write it down, what does wisdom mean? You know, I think we'll get a lot of different answers. And I think listening to someone who's got biblical wisdom, wisdom through knowing God, through Jesus Christ, and having the Holy Spirit, that is different than someone, we will say, in our normal society that maybe doesn't know God, and if you were to refer to that person as wise. You know, I believe there's a difference between the two of them. Now, if I can testify a little bit, you know, when I was a young Christian, and I didn't understand everything about praying and interceding, and about fasting, and about church, and about tithing, as David shared so wonderfully with us this morning. Many times when you're a young Christian, you know, we don't understand all those principles first exactly. I remember when I listened to the prayers of mature Christians, I thought like, yo, they're praying from a... I couldn't almost understand it, I almost couldn't follow it, you know. But as I grew, and as my wisdom, and as my revelation, and as my knowledge increased, you know, I started to understand more. I understand it more about the Church of Jesus Christ, as we were talking about last week. I learned more about unity and agreement, the subject or the topic we talked about the previous week. And we are growing in these things. Okay, now if we look at the life of Jesus Christ, you know, if you go through the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, if you read it, now. Then so many times when we read it and we really focus on it, and you see the interaction that Jesus had with the people, you know, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the people, you can see that Jesus had a lot of wisdom in his dealing with people. And that is why people were so almost confused. They knew this boy, he grew up in Capernaum, and they couldn't understand after he was baptized and spirit-filled, you know, and he started to preach and to minister and signs and wonders started to follow. They couldn't understand now, where does this guy get it from? You know, how does it work? And that's something really that we can follow. So last week we read about the prophecy about Jesus Christ, and that was in the context of the church. This morning I want to read you another prophecy about 700 BC before Christ, you know, that Isaiah prophesied about Jesus Christ. And just listen what he said about the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. I'm reading from Isaiah 11 from verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. There we get it again. He says, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus Christ, and he was saying that he's going to have that spirit of wisdom and understanding. And as I just said, when we read through the Gospels, when we listen to what James and Peter and Paul and these guys are writing about Jesus Christ, we could see that he had a lot of wisdom and understanding in Revelation. So, can we have that same wisdom, revelation? Can we also have it? Yes. Why? Is it because we are Christ-like? Because we are rooted in Christ? Because we want to be more Christ-like? We want to grow in Jesus Christ? Definitely we can. I want to read, as I said, I'm going to read a few scriptures to you this morning. I also want to read you from Luke, and that is Luke 2 verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So as the child grew, as Jesus grew, the wisdom also increased, you know. And that was what I was just testifying about. When we are young Christians, when we come to God, whether we're 15 or 20 or 40 or 60, doesn't matter, you know. But then we are going to start to grow in the wisdom of the Lord. And as I said, that wisdom comes from a place of knowing Jesus Christ, of standing in relationship with him. Because according to Scripture, we're not going to get that wisdom if we don't know Jesus Christ. It's a gift that God, through Jesus, gave all of us. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I'm going to read that first part again. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. So there we can see it again. It's not just there it is, you know, you are born again, you're a young Christian, and now you've got everything in terms of wisdom and revelation. Slowly but surely, as you you know, increase in knowing God, that wisdom is also going to increase. Now I believe for us, as I said at the start, as fathers, as pastors, as people, as husbands and wives, all these things, we need students, like I say, we all need a lot of wisdom. And where can we get it from? We know that we can get it from Jesus Christ. Now, you know what is really important, guys? I believe that us ourselves, we determine how much wisdom we are going to receive from God through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? If we open our hearts, if we are planted, if we are rooted in church, if we are part of ministry, read scripture, have relationship, you know, all those things, if we worship, if we pray, through all those things, everything that's part of the body of Christ, that's part of the church, everything, by doing that, you know, by going to intercession and things like that, by doing that, we are growing in our relationship with Christ, because we are learning more about him. Do you agree with me this morning? If we stand somewhere, you know, I know in my own life there was times and there were seasons that I grew faster, and there was times and seasons that I, you know, that it was almost like if I were running but I had a brick to my ankle, you know, it went a bit slower. And it was usually it was always my own fault or to my own doing. So if we say to ourselves we want that spirit of wisdom, if we want to increase in that, then we are going to determine in our own lives to what extent God is going to impart that to us. Are you with me this morning? Let me read you another scripture this morning. So I said, where can we learn from? I already gave the answer, but I want to read another scripture to you. As I was preparing for the sermon and I was reading and I was cross-referencing and things like that, I found so many teachings and so many scriptures on this topic. It was just overwhelming almost to ask God and to almost to make it a little bit less, otherwise we're going to be here till 1 o'clock. But there's so much. I didn't even go on purpose to all the scriptures in Proverbs, because there's so many teachings there on wisdom as well. Let me read you from 2 Colossians 2 verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. And then in verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that's where I said, you know, it's not just when we start our life as a Christian, as when we start to run that race, that we already know everything. Yes, using a reference to treasure and to, you know, treasures, and that usually in Scripture it refers to silver and gold and to special things, you know. But there it says, it's in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So it's almost, here's a key for us. It's something that we need to discover. It's not always there just on a plate and you can, like a McDonald's or a Steers burger, go and have it and then whoop, there you have it all. It's hidden. It's something we need to learn to grow in understanding of Jesus Christ. And the more we do that, that's why it's so precious, guys, to read the Old Testament, you know. There's so much about the character of God, about who God is. I'm going to read you a scripture from the Old Testament right now. But to understand who our God is, who our Father is, you know. And as the Lord are changing us through the working of the Holy Spirit, you know, then He starts to change us. And I'll know in your lives and in my life, many times you are doing something, and then you will know, you'll get to that, understand that still small voice. You will know, maybe I must stop doing this. Maybe I must stop doing that. And that is for the better. That is because God wants us all to be more Christ-like. He wants us to have a bigger revelation, more knowledge. He wants us to have the spirit of wisdom in our lives, that we can say no to certain things in our lives, you know. And when you're a young Christian, many of you guys are young people that are sitting here in the front this afternoon in youth, we'll spend some time with you again, you know. But I know your hearts, and just from the small group, from your prayers, your request for prayers last week, I know it's your hearts to follow Jesus Christ. But in your own words, and in all our words, I guess, it's not always easy to follow Jesus. It's sometimes tough. There's also always a war going on. It's not about flesh and blood, you know. It's a spiritual war. And the devil always wants to draw us into the wrong things. You want to draw us in, and you want to get us in some sinful behavior or a place where he can, you know, where he can come and steal, kill, and destroy from us. But the key for us, the thing that I believe that God wants to tell us this morning, the thing that He wants to enlighten to all of us this morning, is that when we grow in Him and in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know, it becomes easier for us to discern, and it becomes easier for us to say no to the wrong things. You know, because you will all know, I know it in my own life, when you have done something wrong, you feel bad about yourself. Many times you feel that you want to run away a little bit from God, and you don't want to pray, maybe don't even want to come to church. And that is exactly what the devil wants. Because if he can sow that seeds in your life, you know, then he's going to get something right. But that's not the heart of the Father. That's not God's heart for us. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to understand and to discern, you know. And that is not just to maybe teach in Bible school or be the head of the ministry or something like that. That's in our families as fathers, and in our workplaces and the people we interact with. That people can discern, you know. People can discern, you know, when they meet a godly person. I've experienced a few times in my life before that, you know, there's someone that's maybe not walking really the road with Christ, and you'll be in some circumstances, and maybe they'll swear or something, and I'll turn to you and say, oops, sorry. You know, to have that happen before. Some of you guys, you know, some of you. And why do they that? Because they feel convicted. And that's not our place to tell them, you sinful person, I'm going to do this or that. No, that's not the point, you know. But those people can recognize the godliness in us. They can recognize Jesus Christ in us. And that is why they will turn maybe to you and say, oops, sorry for using God's name in vain, or about cursing, or about doing this or that. And, you know, usually I just laugh and leave it there. Because it's not our job, you know, to convict them and to rebuke them, except if you are really in a place of relationship where you know that person really well and you've got a place to speak into his or her life. But be careful and be wise not to rebuke people you don't really know, because you'll probably just offend them. If you feel in your heart God is opening a door and He's showing you, maybe share with that person about why this or that is wrong, then please do it. But I've seen with people that you don't have relationship with and you don't know them that well, and you tell them don't do this and that, then sometimes they become really offended. I want to read another scripture to you this morning. Matthew 13, verse 53. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that He departed from there. when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, and they were astonished and said, where did this man get his wisdom and these mighty works from? Where did he get it from? Now, I want to challenge you guys this morning. I want to challenge myself and all of us that we can really allow Christ to work to that extent in our lives, that when people see the way that we, you know, I just have to say it, Esty and Jock, it's awesome to have you guys here. They've been married on the 7th of January, 15th. They've been married, so if you want to know anything about young married life, please ask them. It's great to have you guys here. You're wonderful people. But the thing is, no, focus, look at me here. Leave them alone. But they were astonished about Jesus Christ, you know. And we know about Jesus' ministry, when he was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he was tempted in the desert by the devil. And obviously, being Christ and being God, he overcame. But I want to challenge us this morning. And that's why I said, I believe God is giving this word to us this morning. And I trust it will be even more important to some of you this morning. And that God will be speaking to us. I want to challenge us this morning that we can live our lives in such a way that people will see Christ in us. You know, that when they need advice, when they need advice, when they need counsel, you know, that they will know who to go to. I've got a friend, Ian Vinduk, and we bride together, and we are just friends, you know, but he's not a totally a godly guy. But you know what was the wonderful thing that blessed me so much? The one morning, Tuesday morning, it was last year, you know, he phoned me and he said, do you have some time? I said, of course. And he said, can I come to you, are you at the office? And I said, yes. And he came to me, and then he said, he's got this situation, and, you know, he just wanted to talk it through with me, because he knew his friends were going to give him wrong advice. You know, and we spoke, and what I felt in my heart at that moment, I spoke to him, and I said, I think this will be the best thing that you can do. But you see, he came because he knew I will, from a place of relationship and from a place of loving him as a brother, give him the best advice for that circumstance. And I know he can see Christ in me and Maritza and in our marriage and in our home, you know. And that's why I believe he didn't go to maybe friends of his that were still immature, but he went to someone, and it could have been to many of you as well, that he know that he will get godly advice from. So I believe, guys, that we should raise the bar this year. As David said, we must trust for big things. That people will come to our families, that they come to us as a fellowship, and that they will know that they will get the living waters, that they will get good advice in church here. Not because we've got it written in some dictionaries or Bible commentaries or anything, but it will be in our hearts, that it will be in our spirits. And where do we get that wisdom from? We get it from God through Jesus Christ, and we've got the Holy Spirit with us. And He will help us in any circumstance to show us what to do. That's why it's so wonderful if you pray for someone and you trust that God will really show you now what to pray for. I remember 8 or 9 years ago, you'll know Yankur, when I went with him to pray for other people, I only knew about praying for God bless us today and, you know, this and that and small things. But I learned to pray. I learned to trust God in the pictures and the scripture and the thing that I feel in my spirit to pray that for people. And I know many of you do that as well. I've got so many small notes here. Oh, I want to share another thing I experienced. 2004, I lived with a few friends of mine, and as I said now, and I hope you agree with me, that when we are very young Christians, we don't have all that wisdom yet. We still need to learn from older people. That's why we call it discipleship. We need to learn from fathers, you know. And I remember I was growing a little bit at that stage, I had two friends, and we lived together, and that early morning, I went, Jock will know now, I went to Huisvisser, and I need to, we had intercession there. You know, those of you who know Stellenbosch in the campus. And I got early up, and I showered quickly, had coffee, and I drove home, and I was just around the corner leaving the house, and the guy phoned me and he said, are you okay? Where are you going? It's 6 o'clock or even 5:45 in the morning. And I said to him, no, we're going to intercede, we're going to pray at this rest. And he's like, oh, okay, well, cool. You know, and it's not to knock him or to be, you know, hard on him or anything, but at that stage, he couldn't understand why someone wanted to do something like that. I mean, that's good sleeping time. It was actually in winter in Cape Town. Do you know what it looks like? Almost like 9 o'clock at night now in Windhoek. It's raining. It's actually cool. It's nice to stay in bed. But you know, through learning Jesus about Jesus Christ, about growing, about understanding, I myself got the revelation that it's a sowing thing, you know. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for something. I'm doing it for a cause, for a purpose, you know. And that was actually an opportunity where I should have maybe told my friend, why am I doing it? You know, I said what I'm going to do, but I didn't explain the heart to him. Okay, and we kind of missed each other because he didn't get that revelation. So are you understanding what I mean this morning? The more we grow in Christ, I've shared a few times before about tithing myself. You know, it didn't make sense. I was one of those guys, sometimes we call each other a Jew. You know, someone, I don't like to give away money. I just like to get rich and save it up for whatever might come in future. Because in the world, it doesn't make sense to just give it away. But when we grow in Christ, when this revelation, this wisdom, this discernment comes, we understand that we can never outgive God. You know, if you sow something, God will bless you. You will reap something. Maybe not tomorrow or today, maybe in a year or 10 years' time. You know, but it's a spiritual principle, and God said it works that way. And that's another thing you need to get a revelation of, about giving food, about giving clothes. Maybe some people in the week, they come with, I think, 4 black bags of old things, and of not old things, things they don't use anymore. And then they said, yes, please give it to people that need it. You know, it's something that we need to grow in. It's something that we need to understand, and it's wonderful. Just in terms of growing in maturity, in December holiday, I spoke to a friend of mine, and a guy that I'm really becoming friends with, and I actually didn't know his testimony. And he was, the one morning I asked him, but when did you come to Christ, and you know, how did it work? And then he started to share his testimony, and he said he was one of those guys that were drunk every day of the week. Every day of the week, and he talked about the things that he did, and blah, 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 and everything. And I just stood there almost, I want to laugh, because I couldn't imagine it's the same person I'm speaking to. Because that guy, in his old life, I mean, he abused alcohol badly. I mean, really, really badly. And he did a lot of bad things, you know. But I know him now, and he's a father of 2. He's married, happy guy, and he loves Christ, you know. But looking him in the eyes, I want to laugh now or again, because I almost want to say to him, listen, you're lying, it can't be. But you know what? He got this revelation. He got wisdom, you know. And he's an older man than myself. And I actually want to listen to the things that he teach, you know, the things that are in his heart. And now we can ask ourselves, where did he come from? I mean, he was a drunkard and a bad guy in many ways, okay? But today he's a godly man, and he's a leader, and he's a strong Christian. You know, so what happened in between? He came to Christ and he grew in this. I believe the spirit of wisdom rests on his life. And you know, when we find people like that, we should speak to them. We should, apologies, tell someone next to you about the spirit of wisdom. Sorry about that. I want to read another scripture to you guys this morning. And that is, I'm starting to finish now. It's in Deuteronomy. And it's also a clue, it's also a tip for all of us concerning this topic. Deuteronomy, I'm going to read to you from verse 4, verse 1 and 4, verse 6. Now, O Israel, so we can know God is speaking to the church in the New Testament. Listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving to you. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. And then it continues. So that things that he talks about the statutes and the judgments and the things that God taught them to observe. And we can say today, we've got it everything here. We've got it here in Scripture. You know, that is the things that we should observe, that we can understand. And that is going to be our wisdom. Can you say amen with me?
Amen.
Great. Then in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And I want to say to us this morning, we can read many books, we can do many things. And I know I'm using it in a bit of a different context, but there's no way that we're going to get wisdom as Christians, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding, to understand God's heart as a church. Last week we spoke about us as a church and who we are and what we should do, our mandate and our calling. There's no ways that we are going to gain anything except through Jesus Christ, except through Jesus Christ. In Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Guys, I believe we have enough for this next week to chew on. There's enough for all of us to go home and to ask God about wisdom and understanding, about understanding Him and a revelation of Him, so that we can apply that wisdom everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. And then lastly, I think maybe you could guess with what scripture I'm going to end off now, because I can't find a better scripture to end off. And that is Jesus' brother writing here in James 1 verse 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to them. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Guys, do you know how privileged we are? We can ask God for general wisdom, that we can be wise people, that the decisions that we make will be good, that it will be wise. But you know what? We can ask God for specific circumstances for wisdom. If you've got a specific challenge at home or at work or wherever, we can go to our Father, we can go to God, and it says He will give to us generously. You know, that we can ask and we can go and pray and seek Him and ask God that He will give us, that He will give us wisdom for a specific circumstance, for a decision you maybe need to make. So I just want to give you something I've learned in my own life as I'm ending off right now almost. It doesn't make sense, but okay. If you pray about something, if you ask God, Lord God, should I move to Ochu or not? Must I do it? I've learned in my own life, if you ask God a question like that and you want to know when and how God is going to say, yes, move, or no, stay, you know, you're asking God about that and you've got two options in your heart, maybe three, going there, staying, or going to a third place, okay? But you know, ask God to give you peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace as well. And ask Him to give you that peace about the decision. I've made decisions in my life that I overruled the peace in my heart, and I made the wrong decision. But if you listen to that, if you listen to that thing, if you make a decision and then you can sleep, you can go to bed and sleep at night. But if your mind is still spinning, then you don't have peace yet. If that peace of Jesus Christ comes in your heart about the decision, because remember, you're asking God now, so expect the answer from Him. Expect something big. And I believe, I've trusted, and I know in my life, that He will come and He will give you a peace about the decision that you want to make. He will bless it. Okay, I hope you are with me this morning. So, can I ask the worship team, you guys, please come to the front. And then can I ask the rest of you guys to stand with me this morning. As we are all standing right now, I want you guys to remain in an act of worship. Please listen now. We're almost finished. I want to ask you this morning, if you don't stand in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's all I'm going to say. If you don't stand in a relationship with Jesus Christ yet, and you want to learn to get to know Him, I want to pray with you this morning, and I'm going to give an opportunity to you to come to the front, and I want to pray with you. Then for a second group of people this morning, if you need specific wisdom for something in your life, there's going to be intercessors, Marius, David, you guys, please come to the front. And I'm going to ask you, if you know you really need to make a decision, there's something and you just don't know about going right or left, we would like to pray with you, because I believe in my heart this morning that God will help us. God will show us. If we ask Him, He's not just going to give us a stone in the hand. He will show us. Maybe not right now, but maybe throughout the day, you will come and you will show us. So, guys, if there's any of you that you feel you need prayer about the decision you need to make, we would like to, with you guys, to bring it before God. As priests, we're going to pray for you and we're going to trust that God will speak to us and He will show us this morning whether to go right or left. And then, just to end off with, we're just going to worship together this morning and give our praise to God. If there's any of you this morning and you need prayer about anything, you feel you just need someone to pray for you, maybe you feel like you're carrying something on your shoulders and it's just killing you, we would love to pray with you this morning. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for being our Father, Lord Jesus, for being Christ, Lord God, that we can stand in relationship with you, Lord God, that you speak to us, Father, that you keep your hand open and that you invite us, Lord God, to come to you so that we can receive the spirit of wisdom and understanding, Lord God. Lord, I'm praying this morning for all of us, Lord God, that we can just, that you'll increase our capacity, our minds and our hearts and our spirits, that we can know more about you, about Jesus Christ, Lord God, about what you want for us, for the calling on each and our lives, Lord God, because we know, Lord, you created every person in this building with purpose, Lord God, that you have a place and a job and a hierarchy for each and every one of us this morning, Lord God. And I pray for us, Lord God, for wisdom this morning, Lord God, that we can be the light to the world in that sense as well, Father God, that when people are without hope, when they are broken, when they are hurt, Lord, that they can come to us, Father God, not because we are great or good or anything, Lord God, but because of you inside us, Father God, that people will be drawn to us, Father God, and that we, Lord God, as your children, Lord God, that we will study your word, Lord God, that we will read scripture, that we will grow, that we will fill ourselves, Father God, that we will learn to raise our hands and give thanks to you, to praise and to worship, Lord God. And Father, I just trust for your presence here. Thank you for your presence here this morning, Father God. As we are going to pray now, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that the people that are going to pray, Lord, that we will be instruments in your hand, Lord God, that we will just channel your heart and what is on your heart to people that are in need this morning. I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ.